I have a desire to sleep, and I have a desire to make a living. If my desire to sleep is going to be stronger, I'm not going to go to my work. It's very simple. If my desire to make a living is stronger, then I'll drag myself out of my bed. I think I did it today pretty successfully. I'm here now. At least by the evening, I dragged myself out of my bed. So now we understand that the deepest level that we are at least dealing with now is desire. Desire is directed by pleasure, but we're going to be talking about pleasure later. Let's leave pleasure for now alone. The Talmud says that you should study, for example, in the place and in the area that you have a desire in. If I don't like this school, this yeshiva, or I don't like this subject, chances for my success are very, very limited. I know many people who are very talented, but they didn't get anywhere in their studying, in their learning. You know why? They didn't have desire for it. I had a dean of our yeshiva where we were studying. He was a very sharp person, he saw people through. It was amazing. When I came to yeshiva, I was a new guy there, and I needed a study partner for one of the subjects. Like a new student came. He just tested. I asked him, do you think he's going to be good to be my study partner? Rabbi Pekarsky, the dean, said, this guy, he doesn't mind learning. So Rabbi Pekarsky used to say that for everything in life, you need two things. First of all, you need to have brains. But then he said something which is even more important, you need a desire to use your brains. Many people who have brains don't have a desire to use them. So in Hebrew, word desire is ratzon. In Hebrew means a will, a desire. And in Hebrew, word ratzon also comes from the word tzinor, which is ratzon, is comprised of the same letters as tzinor, which means a channel. My desire is a channel through which everything is going to be flowing. If I don't have a desire, I don't have a channel. And Sefira map is comprised of those Sefirot, and as you see, connections. There are actually 22 connections here. Well, you do the math. If you look at all the Sefirot and multiply different ways they can connect, you'll see 22 channels here. And I'll just parenthetically, I'll tell you it is because also we have 22 letters of Hebrew alphabet, and each of these channels corresponding to one of the 22 letters. So we said about these Sefirot being able to collaborate with each other, right? God made peace up there in heavens. These Sefirot can collaborate with each other. They can work together. What does it mean? If I don't let my son have his faith candy for the evening, is it a relation of strictness and discipline? Is it Sefira of Gevurah? Or is it chesed love? Which one is it? It is one expressed through the other. It is love, which is expressed through strictness. Here you have two Sefirot collaborating with each other. I love him, that's why I don't let him have his fifth candy. But it is expressed through strictness. And the other way around, when my oldest daughter, who is already married, was a little baby, we had a space heater where she was sleeping in her bedroom, and we were very scared that she would touch it, and she was determined to touch it. We were putting all kind of roadblocks. She shouldn't be able to crawl. She was very little. She shouldn't be able to crawl to it, but she was very determined. She wanted to touch the space heater. It was hot, but it wasn't, like, dangerous. There was no danger if she would touch it. So I said, you know what? Let her touch it. I sat there, and I waited for her to crawl over and touch it. She touched it, and she started crying. And you know what? And she never touched it again. So, one second. Did I let her touch? Because I love her so much and let her do whatever she wants. It's my kindness? Well, kind of. No pun intended. It was strictness. It was a way how I was teaching her how to discipline herself. But it was strictness expressed through kindness. I figured I wanted to touch it while I'm nearby, so if something goes wrong, I'm right here. I'll be able to put cream on her if it's really bad. I'll be able to hug her when she's going to be crying. But this was a way how I taught her a lesson. It worked. She never touched this space here. She was crawling all over the house. She wouldn't come close to it. So each sphera can be expressed through another one. In Hebrew, there's a term for it. It is called it kalelut, which means incorporation. Each sfera can be incorporated in another one. This itkalelut is driven by what? By my desire. The stronger my desire, the stronger I will be willing to incorporate these opposite sferot with each other. My desire is that king that is summoning two different sferot and telling them, you guys figure it out how you're going to work together. So the stronger my desire is, the more I will be able to force them to work with each other. I heard once one of these motivational speakers deliver a talk, and he said, you know, people say that the biggest difference between different people is their talent. People a little bit talented, but every time when a person is more talented in one area, usually it comes with a deficit in talent in something else. People are more or less balanced in their talents. Yes. The main thing that defines how successful a person is, how much pain he's willing to endure in order to achieve whatever he wants. Everybody wants to live in a huge house and have a yacht, drive a nice car, and have a second or a third home or somewhere else. Everybody wants it. The question is, how much pain are you willing to endure? What are you ready to sacrifice to achieve it? Now, somebody will say, whatever sacrifice this guy made for this goal is too much. He sacrificed his family, he sacrificed his relationships, his friendships, his this. Okay, maybe it's too much. I'm not saying that we need to drop everything for every single goal. But the more you are willing to sacrifice, the further you will get in achieving your goal. So this is this power of ratzon. Why? Because the bigger my ratzon, the bigger my desire, the more I will be able to summon different sefirot and tell them, you guys work with each other. You make sure to express yourself through this one, you make sure to express yourself from that one, and you better all talk to each other, because if not, I'm coming to get you. Now, we spoke about ratzon, and we will find out that there are two types of ratzon, there are two types of desires. There is an innate desire, and then there is calculated desire. Calculated desire is a result of my logic. My innate desire controls my logic. My built-in desire, my desire to have a comfortable bed to sleep in is my innate desire. My desire to have a loving family is an innate desire. You know, people could have different innate desires. Somebody appreciates art, somebody appreciates music, somebody appreciates science. That is their innate desire. If somebody loves music, why do you love music? I don't know why. I love music. But why? Explain it to me. Justify your love for music. I don't know. I just like music. I can't live without music. I think music. I breathe music. I eat music. I sleep music. For me, music is everything. I'll tell you, it makes no sense. I know it makes no sense. But I can't live without music. And this desire will dictate everything what his or her logic leads to. I will buy a good piano, I will buy a good speaker system for my house to play music, and I'll explain why this is the best thing that I can do with my money. That's an innate desire. It controls logic. My calculated desire is a result of my logic. I want to buy this and this stock. It's because I have love for this stock. When I'm buying a stock of Procter & Gamble, Procter & Gamble stock is not my innate desire to buy it. I heard that it's doing well now. I'm buying it. It's a calculated desire to buy a stock of Procter & Gamble. And tomorrow, I'll see that Procter & Gamble is not doing so well. I will sell the stock. But yesterday you said you have a desire to buy it. It was yesterday. Today, I don't like it anymore. By the way, also, innate desires don't change. If somebody loves music, they're not going to wake up tomorrow without any love for music anymore. Innate desires, natural desires, built-in desires are constant. They might change a little bit, but usually they're pretty much on a steady stream. My calculated desires, I like something, I don't like something. By the way, both of them are called ratzon desires because both of them are desires and both of them influence what I'm doing. My calculated desire could also be as strong as my innate desire, and it's going to be pushing everything in my sefirot, in my psyche, in my emotions, to do what needs to be done. And You probably already figured out that an innate desire is corresponding to Or Ein Sof. Mimalek Olam Min, my innate desire, is just like infinite light, which is surrounding, circumferencing, around, above everything else, and my calculated desire is corresponding to Or Mimalek Olam Min, the calculated desire. Because my calculated desire is item-specific. My innate desire is very general. A love of a parent to a child is an innate love. It's constant, it's built in, and it's stronger than anything else. If I have a friend whose company I like, it's a calculated desire. This is like the light which is filling, not the light which is around. Why is this important? There's a Hasidic story about Baal Shem Tov with his students that were sitting and learning. And a poor guy walked into their study hall, the synagogue, the shul where they were sitting, and said that his horse and wagon got stuck in the mud, and he asked them to help. They looked at each other. We are busy learning Torah. We are preoccupied with this holy endeavor. And they said, excuse me, but we cannot do it right now. To which the wagon driver told them a phrase that has become a staple expression in Hasidic. It is a phrase in Russian, but every Lubavitcher Chosid knows it in Russian, no matter if he is American, Israeli, from one of Hispanic countries or whatever it is. This wagon driver told them, Mozhesh, mozhesh, da ne chochesh. You can help me, you just don't want to. And walked out. So when Baal Shem Tov saw all this, he turned to his students and he said, now you have to learn a lesson from what he told you. Whenever you say, I can't, you can, you just don't want to. What does it mean? It means, going back to what we said originally, our actions are dictated by our desires. Now, what if I don't have a desire to do something? What is the answer? The answer is that our desires can be controlled. I cannot control my innate desires. I can reveal them and develop them, or I can ignore them, but I cannot control them. My calculated desires, I can. I can control them. Why? Because calculated desires come and go. How do we do that? For this, we are now going to have to delve in a much of Kabbalistic literature about other three sfirot. We were speaking about Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet, strictness, kindness, and harmony. Now we're gonna, you remember, we are going up, we're always going up. So we know about three sfirot which are up, higher, above those three, Chochmah, Binah, and Da'at. So there is something called Chochmah. Chochmah is usually translated as wisdom, really it's creativity, ability to come up with new ideas. Then there is Bina. Bina is my analytical ability. And people who are better at one are usually worse at the other. People who are very creative are usually bad at analyzing things. And people who are analytical are usually less creative because one is on the side of chesed, kindness, that's expansion, new ideas. People who are very creative are usually also very messy and very not structured. Walk into any artist's bedroom, what are you going to see? Chaos. And people who are very structured are usually not very creative. They are great at analyzing things because analytical skill requires structure. But these two are not the focus of our discussion today. The focus of our discussion today, Da'at. Da'at is a third of them. Da'at usually is translated as knowledge. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge means that I have absorbed some information and now I have it. I possess it. If I'm going to ask you how much is 2 plus 2, you won't have to sit there with your fingers trying to figure it out or do it with apples like your teachers in school did it or your parents did it, showing you how much is 2 plus 2. You'll tell me 2 plus 2 is 4. Why? It's your knowledge. It's your passive knowledge. It's part of your brain. It's part of your psyche. Now, I got news for you. I'll tell you a story. A friend of mine, a Chabad rabbi on campus, was once approached by a student organization. It was some 20, 30 years ago when America had a big push. Anti-smoking campaigns were all over campuses, and he was approached. He was asked to give a talk on campus about the harms of smoking because they wanted all different religious leaders to give such a talks. And he couldn't say no. He agreed. There was only one problem. He was a chain smoker himself. He's going to give a talk and he's going to say, unfortunately, I'm smoking myself, but this is the information which I know about the harms of smoking. And he was preparing really hard. He was working really hard, spoke with doctors, making charts, and really, really put himself into this presentation. I know the guy for many years already. He gave this presentation, walked off the stage, and never took a cigarette in his mouth again. Why? What happened? This information, he kind of knew smoking is bad. He always knew that. But once he dwelled on it, once he thought about it, once he spent time thinking it over and over and over, this information became a part of him, part of his brain, part of his psyche. He internalized it. It became part of him. So this is that. That is my internalization. By the way, this is why in Jewish literature, that's why in the shul and synagogue, we repeat same thing over and over. Every day I come to synagogue and I recite same prayers over and over and over and over again. Why? Because God hopes that after time number 1,235 is going to get into my brain. And you know what it does? Why didn't it get into my brain before that on the time number 1,215 or 14? I don't know. It didn't. I have a thick skull like this. It doesn't get into my brain. But number 1,218, it suddenly got into my brain. Mazel tov. That's what that is. Now, why are we talking about it? Because that is my tool to control my desires. If I will drill into my head that drinking water is a good thing, I'll want to drink more water just because I drilled my head. If I'll drill my head that drinking vodka is not a good thing, well, I might stop drinking. I don't know yet. So this is a way for me to control my desires, my calculated desires. God gave us this tool called Da'at. Da'at essentially is harmony between Chokhmah and Binah, but it also what is enabling me to influence myself. And where does it come from? It comes from the infinite light up above. Infinite light up above, encompassing Or En Sof. That's where it comes from. So Or En Sof is allowing me to influence my brain, myself. I can force myself to like something or to dislike something. It requires work. It's not easy. Many times I've been trying to do it and wasn't successful. What's the answer? I wasn't trying hard enough. Why? Because I don't have enough ratzon for it. Remember I told you, it all depends how much pain are you willing to suffer? So I was not willing to suffer enough pain and give it enough time and spend enough energy on influencing myself. I could have. I'm lazy, sorry. Just me. I have to work harder. So when you have a friend who tells you, oh, you know what, I really think I should be doing it, but I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I really think I should. What should I do? What advice can you give them? You could tell them, you know what, the main thing, you should be happy. Do whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you feel good. You could tell them, you know what, everybody has his own little thing that he does, and everybody, you know, nobody's perfect, whatever. Or you can tell them, you know what, you think you should be doing it. You just don't want to be doing it. So you know what? You can make yourself want to do it. It's up to you.